Hey everybody, it's Trinity Sunday and a great time to talk about one of the most difficult aspects of the triune God that we worship, and that's how he relates to one another, how he relates to himself in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how that's not three gods but one God all combined together. Quite possibly one of the most difficult aspects of our theology, as over the centuries they've tried to explain what the Trinity is or who the Trinity is and how it works, how he works together in all of his different parts. And I think, from my personal opinion of whatever stature it may be, I think any attempt to describe the Trinity or explain the Trinity is it's going to fail ultimately. You're not going to be successful in explaining how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God and not three gods, how they are all together in one place and yet seem in separate places throughout Scripture. It's one of those things that I think a lot of people who are not Christians necessarily accuse Christianity of making stuff up, basically, or trying to explain something in a way that doesn't make sense. When I was on vicarage in Iowa, my friend Dave, who was my supervising pastor, and he had me teach Bible class one Sunday. And as just sort of, if you know Dave, you know how this is. But he said, "Can you explain the Trinity to me?" And I think he was doing it, just as tongue in cheek, but also kind of just trying to see, how I would, as a vicar, how I would handle an impossible question. And I don't even remember what I did, if I even tried to offer some, pitiful analogies, things that fall short all the time, or if I just said, "I don't know." And that is what I would say now. I can't explain the Trinity. I can't sit down and draw you a diagram. I can't, explain in all uncertain terms how God relates to himself in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how that all works. I can't. And nobody else can either. And so if you have somebody who thinks they can, they're gonna fall short at some point in time. The analogies that we have just don't work. So rather than use one that's a sort of a pitiful analogy, I'm not even gonna try. It's I remember, and even now, going to the ocean, going to the coast and looking out across the water and just can't even imagine how vast the ocean is, how far, even in my knowledge of, I know that there are borders and I know how the, countries and the land and the water and all of that work together. But when you stand there looking at the water, it's not like you can see the other side as you look across the ocean. You can't see the other countries that are over there. And so the water just seems to go forever. It's just more water. And sometimes if the sky's the right color, they even kind of blend together. So then it's all water and sky. And it's just always more water and more water and more water. And, imagine a little child sitting on the beach doing the same thing. You just can't imagine it. And similar to laying in the grass in the night, looking up at the stars and just going, that just keeps going. The night sky keeps going and going and going, and there are stars upon stars upon stars and planets and all of the things, and it's just so vast. And it just keeps going. There's no end to it. It's amazing. And this is part of what God created. This isn't even, looking into God himself. This is just looking at his creation and being amazed by just more water or more sky. There's always more. So yet you can see how some analogies might fall short. Even these images fall short that we have of explaining who God is. So when Trinity Sunday comes around, we typically open up the hymnal to the Athanasian Creed, which is the longest of the creeds and arguably one of the most confusing, as it tries to explain how the Trinity relates to each other and how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relate to one another. And it uses words like that God is uncreated. God the Father is uncreated, meaning that he had no beginning. Nobody made him. Nobody started him. He just always has been. So he's uncreated and he's eternal. Again, it's one of those words, eternal, that we use to signify something that doesn't have an end, doesn't have any beginning and end. So we understand it as having no beginning and no end, but we really don't even know what that means, that something doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. It's our word that we use when we kind of say, it's so much bigger than we can imagine. He uses the word, the Athanasian Creed uses the word infinite, that he is infinite, meaning that he doesn't have a finite boundary. There's no boundaries around God. He just is, and there's no sort of like way to put him, hem him in and put him in a box kind of thing. And again, these are words, uncreated, infinite, eternal, that we don't really have a good understanding of what that actually means. It's a word we use when we want to say something that is so much bigger, so much more than we can imagine. So when we go to Scripture and we look for these sort of helpful explanations, we don't necessarily find the words, uncreated, there are words for eternal and infinite, but they don't always, are not necessarily connected the same way. But so we look at things. Okay, so what is it about God that makes God who he is? In Trinity Sunday, we look at God in all of his vastness and all of his uncreated, infinite eternalness. And we look at how the Spirit and the Son are all of those things as well. And I don't even know where I was going to go with that, because you can't sort of line it all out. So let's go to Scripture. Let's stick with that. Where in the Psalms, we hear some things about God that are never ending. And probably enduring forever. The Psalms echo with this refrain, his steadfast love endures forever. So God is love, and his love endures forever, meaning it doesn't have an ending. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have boundaries. It's infinite. So his love endures forever. And I wrote some other things down because I want to make sure that I get all of these points in. So his love endures forever. It also says that his faithfulness endures forever. God's faithfulness never ends. No matter what happens around us, his faithfulness never ends. God's righteousness never ends. God's name endures forever. His kingdom endures forever. His throne endures forever. In Job, his friend says to him, God does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Again, it's an attempt to explain God in his creative ability and his creative output. It's unsearchable. It's unnumbered. It's marvelous, and it just keeps going. And Isaiah, the prophet, says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And that's the way it is with God. We can't explain him. We can't defend him. We can't, sort of be his legal representation and say, well, these are the things. And it doesn't work that way. God is so much bigger, so much wider, vaster, expansive than we can possibly imagine. And all of these attributes, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his name, his kingdom, his throne, all of these things that the psalmist says endures forever. It's just another way of saying God is God. God is God. we are not. We can't fathom how it can be this way. And so when we look at God and we see these unsearchable, innumerable, everlasting, enduring, forever things, we just look at the ocean and we think it's just more water. It's just more sky. It's just more God. It's just more God. And that's the way he is. He's just more. If you think, you know, you'll never reach the end of God. You'll never get to that point where, you know, there just isn't any more God to go. It's just, he's so much more infinite than we can possibly imagine there. I used one of the words that he's boundaryless. So how do we then sort of relate to that? What is our approach when we think about our human sinfulness, our childlike understanding? We look at God and we think, you know, it's just, he's always more. So when you think you've gotten to that point where, you know, I've sinned too much, I've broken too many laws, I've repeated this thing over and over, I must have exhausted God's grace for me. No, you can't. You can't exhaust God's grace. It endures forever. There's always more grace. You know, you can't, in Ephesians, it says that Paul writes about the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, that his grace is just immeasurable. You can't get to the end of it. You can't get to the end of God's grace. And his mercy is the same. You can't get to the end of God's mercy. So again, if you think you've exhausted his supply of mercy, if you've, you know, sort of gotten on his last nerve and he just can't stand you anymore, it's not that way with God. His mercy is infinite. It's everlasting. It endures forever. There's always more mercy. Now, that doesn't mean that we as Christians go out and tempt it and push it just to see. Paul talks about that in Romans. You know, we don't live that way. We don't live, you know, going out, well, I'm going to go and just see how far I can push God's grace. We do that naturally. We don't need to be intentional about it. We do it naturally. And his grace just never ends. No matter what, his mercy just never ends. In Ephesians, Paul writes that there is immeasurable greatness of his power toward us, his mercy. And so the last one I want to leave you with is forgiveness. You know, a lot of times we think that we've done something that God can't possibly forgive, that it's so far beyond, you know, it's so far beyond bad that it's, you know, something that God can't possibly look at me and say, I forgive you, that we've pushed it too far, that, you know, now God's going to have to get tough love on us and kick us out. Again, with God, it's always more. There's always more forgiveness. The forgiveness is always there. It endures forever. Forgiveness won for us on the cross of Christ, it's not going to run out. So if you think you've gotten to that point, if you think you've gotten to the point of exhausting God's supply of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, think again. God is always more. He's always more. More grace, more forgiveness, more love. It endures forever. It's infinite, eternal. It has no bounds. And that's God. God is always more than we can possibly imagine, more than we can possibly understand, more than we can possibly conjure up. There's just always more. So I'll close with Romans 11:36, where Paul writes, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." That's God, our always more God. Amen.